take some of the calls here, BT. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Talking Soto earlier, in case you missed it, check out the free Odyssey app. Obviously, the breaking news with Joe Douglas being fired.
Yes, and I have to ask you something real quick. I want to make sure I'm not overreacting. It bothers me. It's small. It's not going to change my world, but it does bother me, so I'm going to throw it out to you. Tell me if you think I'm a little oversensitive here.
Yeah, don't worry about what Gary Myers says.
That's, please, God almighty. Come on, man, Gary. He's still begging to get back on the show. Hey, come on, man. Don't get me going. Please, come on.
I'm just messing with you.
So the news broke with Joe Douglas about a little bit inside of an hour ago, right?
Yeah.
When do you think, because just based on the normal timeline, chronology of events, so if we found out that he was fired about an hour ago, when do you think that Woody Johnson made the determination, roughly, and informed Joe and his agent that he was not going to be, or that he was being fired?
My guess would be shortly there before, within a half hour. That would be my guess.
Oh, I was going to say maybe a little bit longer, okay? Maybe not.
Like
not necessarily.
Early this morning?
Yeah, meaning earlier, okay. Meaning more of a gap than 30 minutes, but not necessarily.
I would think potentially, like, you know, we talked about yesterday how these things work out. You know, maybe Douglas and his agent find out, then a half hour later or less than that, it's either he texts somebody, says, hey, I'm out, that's it.
Okay, maybe a better way to ask it. Do you think then when Woody Johnson woke up today that he knew he was going to get around to firing Joe Douglas?
Yes.
Okay, so do I. So, can somebody please unplug this guy's phone? 3 hours ago, he tweets,
oh, no,
Woody Johnson, what are you doing? Just get off social. He's got a video, and he's got a still frame, and it looks good. 5 straight seasons with 5-plus sacks for Quinnen Williams. I mean,
come on,
he is the most clueless owner that I've ever seen.
Now, could that be, though, like his
throwing us off scent?
Or no? Wow.
What? Oh, we're not going to Quinnen's having a beast of a season, which he's not really.
Right.
We're not even going to react to the Joe Douglas stuff. I mean,
right.
Come on, how dumb are we?
I know. Well,
you want to give away like free seats to try to buy our goodwill?
Could it have been like a plant? Like, oh, he knew this tweet was a pre-scheduled tweet. You know what I mean, or whatever it is that they call it.
I've never pre-scheduled.
Or like just his assistant. Like, you think Woody's actually sitting there?
I do.
Thumbing away.
I do because I do. Can
really?
You? You know why I do? Do you have a computer in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay. Google. Go to Google.
Yeah.
Go to type in my name.
This thing. Hold on. This thing's slow.
Oh, jeez. All right. Let's get
carve
it out on tablet
name?
Here, like Moses.
My name,
Woody Johnson.
Okay. It's got
butt tweet.
Brandon Tierney.
Woody Johnson
age.
Butt tweet.
Okay. Woody Johnson.
Wife age.
That's what comes
salary.
Up. Woody Johnson butt tweet.
Butt tweet.
Okay.
Anything pop up from the New York Post?
Woody Johnson's Twitter failure responding to Brandon. All right, let's see what this
read
is.
Read this article.
Woody Johnson's
this is how,
Twitter-
by the way, before you read it, this is why I know that he actually is in control of his own stuff. Go ahead.
The at you.i, that's
yes.
What this is?
Yes.
Woody Johnson, this is December 10th. So the headline is Woody Johnson, these damn pop-ups. I can't take it with these pop-ups. Woody Johnson, Twitter failure responding to Brandon Tierney's Jets rant. So you posted a picture of not a picture.
I was getting on Woody.
Yeah.
I forget exactly what he said, but I was knocking
hope,
him around.
The amount of energy, resilience, and passion Jet fans put forth compared to what the Jets actually delivered to said fans in return has been the greatest disparity in all of sports. And then you had like the gif of that guy wearing the Tebow jersey, I think.
Oh, yeah, I know that guy. Yeah. That hopeless looking poor guy.
Woody responded
at
you.i.
Exactly.
Little butt dial.
But then he was over in the UK when this went down, and Chris was in charge. So to butt dial, now there's no.
So he saw that on his own.
There's no way that he's gonna it's not like we'd ever conversed via the phone. So you're not gonna butt tweet me.
Does he follow you on social media?
No, he did. I think he did, but I'm not sure. I know he doesn't now.
Too many tongue lashings.
I don't know, man. Too much honesty.
If anything, Woody, this has been your biggest supporter. Not necessarily the guy believing in the Jets. I mean, blindly the last couple of years.
I'm trying to help you out, Woody. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to complicate your life. I'm trying to make it easier. But he had to have read what you just read that I said a couple of years ago because my Twitter handle would not just randomly pop up on his phone.
Right, so he then.
So to answer you in an indirect way, but now I'll answer your question. Like, does he do his own tweets? Yeah, because I know that he read that one.
Based off of that evidence, I would agree with you. He probably does, which then makes it even more asinine that he would tweet something out today,
bingo.
Knowing that.
Come on.
The axe was
What's
falling on Joe D today.
Here.
BT and Sal on the fan. Mark is in T-Deck, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, BT, Sal. How you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, buddy.
Question for you. If this team is going to get blown up, which is pretty much what's going on right now, why are they doing it midseason? It's hurting everybody. Some of the top guys in the league are not going to want to go to this organization, seeing this coming down. Where are we going? What's going to happen? You know what I mean? It looks bad for everybody. The fan base is very unhappy. I mean, I've been watching. I'm 72. I've been watching since, 64, 65, when they were the Titans. I mean, this is where are we going now? It's 25 years that we've had this kind of real problem with this franchise in a major market.
Yeah.
And they can't put it. I mean, we can list names. You can go back to Tebow. You can go back to Favre. All these ridiculous splashes that are not football decisions. My question is very simple, and it'll never happen, and you guys can comment on this. Why can't the league get involved with this
franchise?
Because
he hasn't done anything wrong except sucking at his ownership job. Mm-hmm. There's no emails, there's no scandals, there's no sexual harassment. You cannot take somebody's job away. And thankfully, there's none of that. I do think Woody's a good person. But since there's none of that, you can't just take somebody's franchise away because they're not good enough.
But what about going to London, doing whatever it is that he does there politically? Like, I don't understand the
Well, he just has to hand over the reins to somebody else, and that somebody else is Christopher. Right. And, you know, I guess technically he's got to be fully detached from any decisions. Now, I don't even want this. I don't want them to launch this probe. I wouldn't want him to lose the franchise if this actually happened. Like, I don't know. If there was this deep investigation, last time Woody was over in UK, we found some text messages to Christopher about a coach or a player, and it was deemed proof that he didn't fully lay out. I don't know. Is that maybe grounds to lose your team? It shouldn't be. Maybe literally it is. And I don't want to see that happen. But no, he hasn't done anything wrong except not being good.
Yeah, I get that.
You don't go to jail for not being good.
Right, which is why I always say, guys, we call, and I said this, to be fair, I've said this on the overnights for many years, even before I was full-time on the overnight, talking about, guys, stop calling about the Wilpons. Like, it's not going to happen. Owners just don't sell the team, especially here. Poof, one day it happens.
But he didn't say to sell it. Yeah. He said to strip it from him.
Well, that's different.
That's what I'm saying. That's never going
to
happen.
Either way, calling and yelling about the owners to me seems like a pointless endeavor because it generally doesn't change.
Okay, but it's... Yeah,
and by the
you
way,
know what?
We a lot of us yelled and screamed about Dolan for many years, and now nobody says a peep about Jim Dolan.
Yeah, that is
true.
He's
done a great job turning the Knicks around, and he's always tried. It just didn't work with the moves that he made, but now all of a sudden he made the right move with Leon Rose. The Knicks couldn't be better than where they're at right now over the course of the last two decades plus, whatever it may be. Nobody says a peep about Jim Dolan anymore.
True. That's true. And even the years where he was driving us nuts with the Knicks, with the Isaiah, with the Donnie Walls, with the failed LeBron meeting and all the other stuff that happened, Eddie Curry, Marbury, Trey. Like, he let the Rangers people do their job. So, I really do believe that if Woody Johnson had a good operation. Now, he can't seem to find that, but if he ever had one, I do believe that he would lay out. He would let them do their job. Like, I don't think he would get in the way and just get his paws all over it just for the sake of ego and disrupt continuity. Like, the man genuinely wants his team to be good, and right. I think from a business perspective, he's smart enough to just sit it out when things are going well, but they never go well.
Yeah, he keeps hiring the wrong people. Jay is in Manalapan. What's up, Jay?
Yeah, you just mentioned it. Actually, I think Woody does meddle. So Joe Douglas was somewhat of a scapegoat. Listen, Joe swung and missed on things like the offensive line. But I do believe that Woody Johnson was involved, and not just Aaron Rodgers, but also Zach Wilson. I would love to see Woody sell the team just like everyone else. That's a pipe dream. The second thing that you have to consider that's actually reality, you talked about surrounding yourself with football talent. It's not the GM. It's not the head coach. It's actually the football operations. You look at the president of football operations, there's some guy, I think Jaime, he's been around for 25 years.
Yeah.
But he helped to hire Adam Gase. He helped to hire Rob Saleh. So who's going to hire the next guy? Woody Johnson and this guy, who's the president of operations. If you want a clean house, you got to get rid of everybody. And that means all of the folks that you never hear the names of that are involved in hiring. So I'll hang up and listen, but... That's
reality.
Thanks
for the call, buddy. They're not bad by accident. There's a long list and of reasons and a long line of people why the Jets are the Jets. It's that simple.
Somebody sent me some stuff on that. I'm trying to think of the names here. Maybe you would know. Yeah.
Good.
This is a while ago. We were talking about this. I'm not going to mention who it was. And, you know, again, take it for what you will, but it's somebody who used to be around the NFL. We're talking about the Jets and how bad it was. The only way it could change with Johnson and his owners would be if Woody obviously made a GM change, which has happened now today. But the president, this guy, Jaime. Yeah, okay. Also needs to go since he repeatedly offers bad advice. He gave Le'Veon Bell, for example. Hold on. The other two confidants are technically not Jets employees. Ira Axelrod, have you heard of him?
No.
Me neither.
Ira Axelrod.
Who's been with the Johnsons for 25-plus years with their private equity firm.
No.
Has had more impact than any fan knows. Axelrod controls the Jets' purse strings as Woody's top advisor. Now, again, this is from somebody who used to cover...
Okay.
Football.
Yep. But keep in mind, spending's not an issue. Like, Woody spends money.
One, yeah. That's why it was also saying, like, that's, you know, a multi-layered issue here. But anyway, so, look, step one, Joe Douglas is out. But step two might be some of these other guys that are advising him, get out of the way. Woody, just go directly to the football person, whether it's Belichick, obviously that's not realistic, whether it's Gruden, which should be realistic, say, here you go, all my guys, my presidents, my guys who run Johnson & Johnson, the football, they're out. You're in. You tell me what you want, what you need to do. It's your show. That's what needs to happen here. And then Woody has to properly or supply him with the proper resources
which I think he would.
Me too.
Because their facility's gorgeous and all that other stuff.
But no, like your trusted guy, the president, whoever these guys are, forget all that.
Yeah.
This is you have to just hire a known commodity and let them do the football things and get out of the way and sit along for the ride like Dolan did with the Knicks.
God, that would be so nice. I mean, here's the thing. Like, you look at Woody Johnson and he comes across as, you know, humble. He's not braggadocious. He's not like, he doesn't come across as your typical alpha male where, I'm not saying he doesn't control the boardroom. Of course he does. I'm not saying he's not a cutthroat businessman. I mean, you have to some extent to get to where he's gotten. And I respect that. That's not a knock. That's just the way it goes. And don't confuse being cutthroat with unethical. I don't mean that necessarily. But, like, Woody Johnson does not strike me as a guy, just maybe I'm reacting too much the way he looks. He doesn't come across as this overwhelming alpha presence, shutting people down when they're talking about the Jets.
No, not at all.
At all. But keep in mind, you know, what he operates and what he runs, he is that person. Maybe he doesn't look like that person, but the ability for him to maybe cede power is a lot trickier for him than we think. We can sit here and say, that's what I'm saying.
His way's
people...
not working.
I know. So I've been saying it forever.
Exactly. You can't keep doing it the same way over and over and expecting a different result.
He hasn't done it always the same way. Remember when he leaned on Charlie Casserly? Like, he's even gone out of the building. And Peyton Manning, he leaned on Peyton Manning to get some intel on Adam Gase, and Peyton was very influential in that decision. Like, it's not just the people in the building. I guess he doesn't really know where to go. So that's always kind of changing.
Yeah, well, how about somebody that's won before? And there's no guarantees that that's going to be the answer either, but I guarantee you, you'd be better off doing it that way than, again, hiring a first-time head coach, a first-time GM in this market.
Can you imagine
with
if they
that,
do that
team? You can't do it again.
I agree.
I can't imagine, but you can't do it again. Steve is in Howard Beach. What's up, Steve?
Guys, 1994, the Dolphins went on to sign every free agent imaginable, and they had the worst season. They ended up in third place, missed the playoffs. It was really one of Dan Marino's final shots to get in. This is actually worse. Secondly, I got to go. The Jets just made a savage hiring. They just hired an absolute savage.
I don't even know where he's going right there. But
I have no idea.
Me neither, Steve. Come on. Hey, get lost. Hey, we're going to have to block Steve lost. Now. No, I'm buddies with Steve. But
Steve's calls of Steve. Now, Steve seems like a nice guy, and I know that he's your buddy.
He is a nice guy. He's a wackadoo.
He adds nothing to the show. His calls are odd and incomplete.
Yeah, well,
he's got to be banned for a week. He's got to earn it back. He's just getting too much freedom. He's not good enough.
The comparison of what the Dolphins did in 94 to what the Jets did, like, that's fine. Like, we get it. Okay, it was a team that went out there and made some moves, although the Jets didn't do it just in free agency. agency. They brought in Rodgers via trade. A lot of the young stars that they had were draft picks that were talented. Devontae Adams came after the season was already over anyway, so I didn't think that was going to change anything. That point is fine. What the Jets hired? What are you talking about? Good God.
That's your buddy,
go hit the weight room again, will you? Joe is in Hohokus. What's up, Joe?
What's up, guys? Great show as usual.
Thanks, Joe.
BT, you asked a quick question a couple of minutes ago.
Yes.
Would you rather have Juan Soto or Bobby Witt?
So yeah, it's not even close for me.
Okay, BT, I ask you a quick question. Then I'll make it connect. Who would you rather have, Bobby Witt or Aaron Judge?
Bobby Witt.
You would rather have Bobby Witt because he's younger. So, okay, great.
And he plays shortstop. And he's good. Yes.
I agree. I thought you were going to say Judge.
And oh, not give me any credit there, Joe.
No, I'm giving you credit. Okay, here's to my next point, though.
Yep.
You have to remember the skill-wise of Juan Soto. Juan Soto got into the league at the age of 19. He was winning a World Series. At the age of 20, he got to the league, hitting 5 home runs. Bobby Witt, yes, great player, and he's going to be an amazing player as long as he stays healthy. But the skill-wise, to make it to the major leagues at the young age of 19 years old, man, that takes a lot.
Joe, but hold on a sec, Joe. What does that mean for 2025? I mean, who cares? It's impressive. And seeing him hit against Hader at the age of 19, lefty on lefty, is one of the most truly amazing hitting accomplishments that I've ever seen, given his age and given Hader's filth. It was astounding how comfortable he looked lefty on lefty with that hair and those wild limbs flying around and sick stuff from Hader. Nobody's taking away what he does in the batter's box, but you know, whether you Dave Winfield got to the majors without going to the minors, and Dave Winfield's a Hall of Famer, but I don't care. I'm looking at it right now. I would take Witt. I think I would take Witt over anybody in baseball right now. Judge, Soto, you name it.
Yeah, here's what I saw from Witt. Nothing in the postseason against the Yankees in Yankee Stadium. When his team relied on him to be an offensive force, he did nothing. Now, does that mean he's going to be a bad baseball player?
No, of course, that means nothing.
He's also accomplished nothing. This is year three, and he's finally starting to come into his own. That's great. I saw him in the postseason fail time and time. Did he even get a hit in a postseason? What do you have? One
like
hit?
One or two.
One hit wit. It should be his new nickname. Because he
come
did nothing.
On, one hit
yeah, one wit. Hit, the guy had 211 hits, led the league in hits. He goes into the postseason, and he soils himself at the side of the pinstripes. I mean, that's pathetic. At age 24, Juan Soto was a World Series winner already.
Who would you rather have, Judge or Witt, based on that question?
Right now, I'd still rather have Judge.
Judge didn't do anything in the postseason.
But he did nothing. But he's also been more of a proven player than Bobby.
Well, he's also a lot younger.
One good year.
No.
That's like, we can't even debate that.
Well, the second year was pretty good as well. What was his OPS in year two?
He hit 276.
What was his OPS? So Juan Soto hit 275 last year.
Understood, but you're the one who's going to averages.
I'm just saying, what's his OPS, though, in year two?
813.
Okay, how many stolen bases?
49 stolen bases.
Okay, I mean, come on.
Boy, a big drop-off from year two to year three.
Well, because you got to protect the limbs. You can't be going head first when you're going to be a raker for the next 12, 13 years.
Yeah, he's faster. He's a shortstop. He's a good defensive player. I'll tell you this, I'd rather have Lindor over Witt.
You're insane.
What do you mean insane?
You're absolutely nuts. How's that?
Lindor's better.
No, he's not.
Lindor's going to the Hall of Fame.
Stop, dude.
Now, what do you mean stop?
I mean, I got to check out of this one here. Lindor had a really good season.
He's
second in the MVP.
He's had a better career than Bobby
Witt. Going to destroy what he does as a pro.
How about he does it?
Can you give him time? Of course.
Okay, but then let's see, because I've heard this before with other players. I mean, I heard a lot of other guys are going to be great, and they aren't. A lot could change in a year.
Witt is insane, dude. Yeah. He is almost beyond reproach in terms of what he's going, like, assessing who he is and what he's going to be. You know, like, you might be the only one who doesn't love him. Like, I mean, love him. He's insane.
A, that doesn't matter. B, I didn't say I don't love him. I'm just saying, like, you're in love with him. The guy's accomplished nothing.
What did he hit this year? What did he hit? Just his average.
Yeah, 332.
What did Lindor hit?
Last year, 276.
What did Lindor hit?
I don't have the numbers.
I think
up
it was 27. Hoff, what did Lindor hit this year?
BT, you can paint the stats any way
you
want.
You brought Lindor up. I'm just reacting to what you said.
Because Lindor's a more accomplished shortstop. By far.
I don't look at accomplished. I look at better. How could you be accomplished 3 years in?
How are you better without being more accomplished?
Well, how can it? Let me
who projects better?
No, who's better opening day.
Francisco, I'm taking Witt.
Yeah. That's where we disagree. Lindor, I don't even think it's close. I'll take Witt all day.
Lindor actually had some clutch hits in the postseason last night.
I understand that.
Bobby Witt Jr. and his Royals were...
I got you. And he's got some kid, Pasqualuti, whatever his name is. And like I said, Sal Perez, we can't even run. Who else is on the Royals that we even heard of? Yeah. I mean, he got nothing around. Imagine if he had...
Right, but it would have been nice for him to actually contribute, being that he is, you know, the guy. Lindor didn't have much around him either, and he seemed to make it work all season.
He had a really good year. I'm not trying to discredit him. Witt is better, Witt will prove to be better, and he's better on starting in 2025. He's better.
Lindor,
just better.
Lindor's going to the Hall of Fame.
That's great. I get you. I'm not saying he's not.
Witt has played 3 years.
Okay, like, and watch in three more years where he's at.
Yeah.
He's going to have probably two MVPs. He's going to have 1,200 hits.
But then maybe we could have that conversation.
I love those conversations. But listen, the thing about baseball, there's such a massive element of projectability. I mean,
is there?
Do you think that Lindor has a better year next year than this year? I don't.
Yeah, I think it's similar.
I mean, it might be. I'm not saying that he's going to take some precipitous fall. I don't mean that. But I don't think he's going to have a better year probably ever, based on his age. Like, he was really good this year.
Yeah, but that's what he does. I mean, that's what he's done more often than not in his career.
I mean, not really with the Mets. I don't want to go through the stuff with the Mets again. The 240 with the two, whatever
it was.
You're valuing
him because he's a shortstop. Like, I don't think either compared to Juan Soto. I think Soto's a better player. But with Witt, it's all about projections. You've gotten the same trouble.
But it's not just... Sal, it's not like Spencer Jones, who hasn't had an at-bat yet. That's all about projections. Witt is phenomenal.
He had a phenomenal regular season this year. That's one regular season.
He honestly might be, outside of Griffey, he really might be the most talented young player that I've ever seen.
He does it in the middle of the diamond. He runs.
He pops. He does it all. He's got a rocket. He's incredible.
Understood. It's 3 years and really one really great year for him. We heard about Dominguez and how he's going to be a stud, and now he can't catch a fly ball.
Yeah, but he played eight games,
I know, but I was the one saying he only played eight games. Let's not say he's Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, but that was an elevated projection. This is a reaction to what he's done against major league pitching with nobody around him.
Well, same thing. Spencer Jones, we heard about he was going to be the next Aaron Judge. Now all of a sudden he's falling off. Like, the projections in baseball don't really work as well as everybody likes to think.
I agree, until Alvarez,
we heard it. It's not just... Even Vientos came out of nowhere. It's just... Until they did it, I've seen Juan Soto do it. I've seen Lindor do it. Bobby Witt had a great year. I'm not saying I wouldn't project him to have a nice career, but how could you say that he's better than the other guys who've already done it for a much longer period?
Because he's literally the fastest player in baseball. He's got a rocket. He hits for power. He's got a great loose body. He plays the most important position in baseball. And those are five reasons off the top of my head. And he's got to keep doing it. I would say this, of the three names, Lindor getting into it. That's all right.
Only because he's shortstop.
I hear you. If I'm starting a team tomorrow, number one of the three, Witt one, Soto 2, and Frankie 3. Only, you know, age matters, obviously. Oh, God, I love Witt. I wish he was on the Yankees. I'd take Witt over Judge. Mm. So at least I'm being consistent.
Need to get out of a meeting? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS Live on Paramount Plus.
Time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
All right, BT, this is where we go around the previous week in the NFL, in this case week 11, and just pick out some things that caught our attention. I have two things for you. Number one, the Denver Broncos are legit. I was surprised that they beat Atlanta, not only beating them, but beat them to a pulp. At Denver, 6-5 already on the year. Bo Nix throwing for 4 touchdowns, throwing it all over the place. Their defense has been terrific, holding Atlanta to only 6 points. All the offensive weapons and Kirk Cousins and all that bull crap that they try to sell you in Atlanta. Denver is legit. Forget about the Atlanta perspective, though. Denver is a legit threat, and we mocked the Jets for losing that game to them, and they still shouldn't have lost that game. But boy, the Broncos and Sean Payton, boy, have they turned it around, and it goes to show you what hiring a real head coach can do for you.
Ah, man, they are still a little tough for me to read. I'm not all the way there. I know they're better than I thought. Let me at least say that. And... you know, just you want a stat, not to just bombard you with stats, but, you know, plus 52 point differential. You know, you're not winning luckily. You're not like plus 9 or negative.
That much. Good for them.
Yeah. I mean, think about this. And they lost a couple of tight ones. That week 2 game, they lost by 7 versus the Steelers.
Should have beaten the Chiefs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Now that I examine this more closely, they've lost 4 times, right? No, I'm sorry. They've got five losses. The first one's in Seattle. Tough place to play no matter what, except the Giants, odd way. Then they lose to the Steelers, who were good. Then they lose to the Chargers, who were good. This is not obviously in order. Then they lose at Baltimore, and they got rocked there. And then they lose by 2 points at Kansas City. They would have won if they don't have that block. So, they are better than I thought. Where are they exactly? I still think they're maybe a little lower than you do, but I got to give them credit. So I've got, can you really trust Lamar?
Mm.
You know, Lamar Jackson's one of these guys that he's amazing to watch and, based on the stats, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer. He is, he's much more polished, I think, than people give him credit for. You know, when he first came in, he's just an athlete. He's just running around. I think that he was too often discredited as to what he really does. But, you know, he doesn't play well against Pittsburgh. And he too often doesn't play his best in a big spot. I mean, 16 for 33 against the Steelers this week. That was a big game, man. So, again, I'd like to see Lamar eventually pop through. I don't know if he will. The other thing that I walk away with here, Sal, I've got two as well, is the NFC West, which coming into the year, didn't really know what to make of it. I mean, man, I thought the Niners would be a lot better. I thought that the Seahawks would be competitive. But I didn't really think the Cardinals would be this. And the Cardinals played a lot of tough games early. So they've got an easier track the rest of the way. I would think the Cardinals are going to find a way to win this division. They're 6-4. Everybody else is 5-5. And speaking of coaching for the Jets and the Giants, to a lesser extent here, you know, you want the mark of a good team. It's the opposite of the Jets, who were supposed to be good, and they're awful. The Rams were supposed to be and once again, they're incredibly competitive 500 because they have a real coach.
Yeah, and speaking of which, to go back to your Lamar point, for me, the other thing that jumped out was the Steelers, and they have a great head coach. They have a great foundation. We also, and we do it when we'll do the power rankings coming up on Thursday, and I'd be curious to see where we change from where we were a year ago, but we have both, I think, left the Steelers on the outside the last couple of weeks.
I did.
And they just keep winning. They now have a two-game and the loss column lead over Baltimore in that division as Pittsburgh beats them head-to-head. They go to 8-2 on the year. They do it with defense. They've gotten terrific play from Russell Wilson, Justin Fields earlier in the year. Like, at some point, I know I still don't feel it in my gut that they're a legitimate Super Bowl threat, but they're just a good, sound, tough, physical football team.
Mm-hmm.
And to beat the higher octane, more finesse, I'm not saying Baltimore isn't tough because they are certainly physical and they can run the football, but they have the quarterback that is lighting up the scoreboard, an MVP, and the Steelers shut him down. Like, they are as dangerous as anybody else in the AFC. We can't be overlooking them, saying, well, Baltimore's better or Cincinnati's better. Maybe just circumstance why they don't have as good of a record. It'll even out. 8-2 through their first 10 and beating the teams like the Ravens that they just did this week and doing it the way that they're doing it, winning 5 in a row, plus 71-point differential. Steelers are also legit and overlooked.
They are always tough, and they're too often overlooked. And it's funny, just trigger this. So I had Willie Colon, SNY. Of course, you know Willie, former Jet, Steeler as well, won a Super Bowl with them. I had Willie as my first guest on the Unkillable Pod. And if you guys want to check it out, it's all over Spotify, Apple, you know where to get it, right? And we had, talk about Rex and Gruden and Rodgers, all the things that we hit. But he relayed a story about when, because he came from Hofstra, he didn't play at Alabama. Like, he had to really, really prove himself. That's why so many of us respect what he's done. And he was telling me the story when Russ Grimm, the Steelers, brought him in and said, all right, basically sit down. And within 2 minutes, he was out there, like he was out of the office. And when Willie got back in the car and spoke to his agent's like, hey, how'd the visit go? He's like, I don't think it went really well because they didn't keep me around long. They didn't keep you around long because they know what they're looking for on film, and they could tell within a minute or two if you're a Steeler kind of guy, Steeler kind of person, a winner, an in-the-trenches kind of a guy. Whereas, not just the Jets, I don't want to just pile on the Jets, but the bad teams, like they trip over themselves scouring film and asking 100 crazy questions to try to outsmart the room. The good ones, the good franchises, they can look at your tape for a minute. They can look you in the eye, which connects to your soul, and they know right away, we want this guy or we don't.
All right, that does it for this edition of Jam It Up the A-Gap with BT and Sal for this week's edition of it. Now, before we take a break, and we'll finish up with your calls on the other side, where Steve was calling before, and the reason why I'm short with Steve is I know Steve well. Him and I are good friends. He called last time. He started going off on some political rants. We had to cut him off. It annoyed me.
Yeah.
And then this time, he starts being with his corny dad jokes. The Jets made a Savage hire. He's referring to Phil Savage, who's been with the Jets for, I think this says, his sixth season. He's been elevated to interim GM. Like, why bother?
Yeah.
Well, who cares? What's that going to do? Interim GM? Well, what's he going to do in the remainder of the year that's going to be worth? Like, you don't even need a GM.
No, I mean, it doesn't matter in terms of the big picture, but you need somebody for clerical purposes, practice squad, elevation, blah, blah, blah. Not that it matters.
Do you?
You do.
Should have just kept Joe Dion and paying him anyway.
Yeah.
Phil Savage, by the way, is as big a part of the problem as Joe Douglas.
I was going to say, Phil's been here 6 years.
Yeah.
Look at the last 6 years. Phil has not done much good.
Yeah. He's the Jets team senior football advisor. In his role, Savage evaluates college prospects, pro players, while providing valuable insight on the player personnel department, overall philosophy, grading system. Yeah, it's not working. So, no, the Jets didn't, in fact, make a Savage hire, as you would say. Right.
Your official station to talk New York Rangers.
Score!
The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Call of the Day with Brandon Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey and by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts. Mike is in Garden City. What's up, Mike?
Hey, fellas. Loving the program so far. Hope you've had an excellent morning.
Thanks,
I do have a slight problem with what BT said in the show open about the Mets core and that team needing Juan Soto to be that guy for them because Francisco Lindor, as good as he is currently not that guy.
Not like Soto, he's not.
That's totally fair, but I think as far as comparisons go, I think the argument is there that the Mets' current foundation of position players is stronger than the Yankees, and the Yankees are in desperate need to re-sign this man because they desperately need, quote-unquote, that guy, especially when they're MVP
they already have that guy.
In the thin air.
His name is Judge. That guy it resides in the Bronx, and he's going to be in Monument Park someday. That guy's there.
Out of curiosity, though, where was he in October? Because
he's dropping pop-ups and going. maybe he was touring Monument Park. His head certainly wasn't on the diamond. He was awful in October.
I love the way you said that. Out of curiosity, was he? That was pretty funny delivery there.
That was good.
By the caller of the day. All right, we'll finish up here on the phones real quick because we've been talking about it going into this stretch at home here for the Knicks. We didn't mention it all today. We'll maybe do more on them as the week goes on. But we had those five games starting with the win in Philadelphia, said minimum 4-1. They had the heartbreaking loss to Chicago after coming back, digging themselves out of the 20-point deficit, whatever it was.
Yep.
But they lost that at the buzzer off the Brunson miss. Beat the Nets by the skin of their teeth the first night, took care of the Nets with ease the second game, and then mopped the floor with Washington last night, 4-1. Where are you at with the Knicks?
I like the fact that they jumped on them last night and just smothered them very early. That's the sign of a team that's focused and starting to gain that gel that we talked about when I was a little concerned with how they looked to start the year. And you mentioned that Chicago game and Brunson shot halfway down. Also, kind of a phantom foul with Josh Hart giving Kobe White three free throws behind the line. Listen, the Knicks are beating teams they're supposed to beat, and I'm enjoying it. You know, the other night, Carl Anthony Towns didn't play. I think that was the first Nets game, if I have that right. There's so many games already with the football and everything looped in. But they are, and they still don't have McBride, so their main depth and talent piece off the bench is not there. The Knicks are going to be really good. My only question was, where's the gel and where's the heart? And in that spirited comeback, even campaign was involved in that. I remember saying to Sal the next day, I'm like, it's the first time it kind of felt like a year ago a little bit.
Oddly enough, the one loss of the last five games, but that's the one you saw it.
And the starters were on the bench when they were coming back when they were down by 17 or they had that 19-point run. I think they were down by 22.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, big picture, I know they're going to be top four. You know, are they the Celtics? No. And right now, they're not even the Cavaliers. They're playing tonight. The Cavaliers are 15-0.
Yeah.
15-0.
Knicks right now, the four spot, 8-6 in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Behind Cleveland, 15-0, Boston, 11-3, the Magic, 9-6. So,
and a lot of trash behind them, so I'm not worried about that
but
stuff.
But I do think some of the question marks that a lot of people say, the depth of the chemistry, the depth with campaign, with getting healthier now, even starting to see other guys, I know Hawk Porty, when he had to play, has given some good minutes. Even Jericho Sims been given some better minutes as of late. I know you don't love him, but still, you know what I loved about last night? That Tibbs did lay off the gas, specifically with Carl Anthony Towns. Like, there were not a lot of minutes. Bridges played, 35 minutes, something like that.
Yeah.
Outside of that, the starters got some rest.
30 minutes for everybody.
Yeah, in a game it was garbage time in the third quarter. Yeah, but he's got to evolve to that
point. I agree.
Especially with this group in particular.
Yeah, no, it was fun. And
And now a tough road trip coming up.
Five games. I think the only easy one there potentially is the Jazz. They're at Utah, which I think Utah's like 3-9 or whatever they are.
At Phoenix Wednesday.
Charlotte, I think, as well.
At Phoenix, at Utah, at Denver, at Dallas, at Charlotte. That takes us through next Friday.
Jeez.
So you get a long trip here. Yeah,
wait, when is the Dallas game? I'm going to be there for Thanksgiving. What is that?
Ooh, November 27th.
What night?
Dude, what night? Wednesday night. You're not going in Wednesday night?
I think I'm getting in Wednesday night.
You got to go to that game, 7:30.
Well, I mean, I got to work. And then I got to do the show here.
Yeah, but if you leave right after, what time are you planning on getting there?
It's already booked. Can't change it.
What time's the flight?
It's only an hour time difference. So,
what time is your flight here?
I guess see what my wife booked. I don't know.
Yeah, your wife booked?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
What?
It's like an assistant almost.
No.
Like secretary almost.
I mean, no, definitely not. But she's good with that. I don't have patience for that. And she, you know, if you have to get miles and she could tap it, go ahead, honey. I trust her. She's great with that logistically.
Yeah. I'm the one doing all the booking in my house. When you,
are you?
Yeah. And last night I got a call on my way home. We were talking about it. You know, like a long day at work, two different jobs. I just want to get home, eat, throw on the game. And I was like, oh. I forgot, when you get home, I have to go out. I'm like, for what? It's like, it's Monday night. Oh, Sammy's teacher said she needs watercolors for tomorrow. I'm like, what? They let you know Monday that you need something for Tuesday? She goes, no, they actually said it on Friday, but I forgot to do it over the weekend.
Okay.
I'm like, come on. I'll do it. I'm out anyway. I might as well do it.
All right. Now, be honest with us. What, when you hear this, and I know it's annoying because we went through this with the purse versus the pocketbook the other day and how my wife misplaces her phone 3,000 times. Can you call my phone? Yeah. I know it's annoying, all right? But what is your first reaction? Like, it's not, what you just do on the air.
When she said it was for Sammy, then I said, okay, I'll go get it. I'm out anyway. I was literally on my drive home. I'll stop at Target or whatever, pick it up. Yeah. I got to get the dog food anyway that I didn't get over the weekend. Maybe I'll get that and just get everything in one stop and go home. Even though it cost me a half hour, push dinner back a little bit, which my wife had ready.
Dinner was waiting?
Oh, okay, I think she
got the hint there the other night.
It's a motivation. Like, if I'm like, she's like, why do you want to go get it? I'm like, I'll just get it. Like, I'm out already. There's no need for you to do it.
Yeah.
She knew, like, oh, okay, what do you want ready? And I'm like, all right. I scratch your back. You scratch mine.
That should work. That usually does. I hear you.
And maybe like cuddling. And then, you know. It's all the thing. Tony's in the Bronx. What's up, Tony?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Tony.
Listen, what a great show as always.
Thanks.
I just wanted to drop in quickly on this Soto thing. You know, BT, you're probably right. I hope you're not, when you said that if they do get Soto, they might not do much in other areas where we need a lot of help. But at the end of the season, I said, and I told you both that, you know, I think Hal got a taste of the World Series and going deep in the playoffs. And I think that motivated him to get into this. Now, here's another thing that we talked about, and it's being overlooked a lot, is that, I mean, Yankee law does stand for something. It means something, Sal. I know you're going to get upset, but I think that Soto may forget about that $50 million extra just to get on with the Yankees again.
Why?
So that's just my thought. I think they're going to resign. That's what I'm saying.
All right, thank you for the call, Tony. I want to get some others in here, which is why I let you go. Yankee law may mean something to you. It may mean something to other fans, other players. It may not mean anything to Juan Soto.
I agree with that. We don't know what it means. It might mean very little.
Hey, look, just because I think Soto's going to go to the Mets for more money, it doesn't mean that that's what's going to happen. Let's say the hypothetical that we put out there before, BT, the Mets offer 14 years for $700, the Yankees offer 13 for $650. Maybe Juan Soto says, you know what, I'd rather be a Yankee. Like, that is possible here. I don't believe it's going to happen, but it is possible. Maybe he does. Aaron Judge took less to be a part of the Yankees.
Yeah.
Different circumstance, but he still did. So maybe it does mean something.
Yeah, and I think Garrett Cole took less, right? Because the Dodgers were coming out there with a crazy offer back in the day.
He wanted to be a Yankee.
We saw the picture as a kid. Yeah.
Now, most of the players that the Yankees used to get in free agency was not because of the Yankee lore. It was because they gave the most money. How many times have the Yankees gotten free agents without giving the most money? Again, Judge is a rare example of where he gave them a minimal but hometown discount to remain a Yankee. How many free agents have the Yankees gotten over the years?
At a reduced rate? I don't know that there's really any. And I mean, think about that. Like, just randomly, Giambi took pretty much every penny. Yeah. Did Rodon have a lengthier or more lucrative offer?
Whether
it's AAV? I don't know for sure. I don't know. We kind of wish he did.
Yeah, exactly right.
I wish he took it.
Steve is in Crown Heights. What's up, Steve?
Hi, guys. Great show. Joe Douglas failed at the two most important things, head coach and franchise quarterback. So, that's just the way it is.
Steve, let me ask you a question, Steve. Is it easier to say, and by the way, I don't think that you're wrong, but I'm just having a conversation. Is it easier to say he failed with the head coach because he failed at the quarterback spot, which made the head coach fail?
The two are intertwined. That's for sure. Which is which, the chicken or the egg, I guess.
I hear you.
And either way, it's broken eggs with them, and thank you for the call. Where I understand why you're saying that, BT, I would evaluate each individually, and I think the Jets, Joe Douglas put both his new head coach and his new quarterback in a position to fail. And guess what they did? They failed, and they failed miserably. For the structure, for the setup that he had, that was criminal. And that's ultimately what led to his firing, because if he hit on the head coach or the quarterback, maybe we wouldn't be sitting here talking about Joe Douglas getting fired today. But he missed on those guys. Then he had to go chase Aaron Rodgers, and that was a miss last year because he got hurt, this year because just ineffectiveness overall. What, he had no choice?
Well, he left out Becton, which is why you got to go out and get Tyron Smith, who's hurt and pretty much useless, even though he's been a Hall of Famer. Oh, what a surprise. Did all his work somebody else.
Yeah, you're right about Becton. I know you brought him up earlier, but that's just as big of a miss. Maybe not as the quarterback, but that was a bad miss.
I can't exonerate him because there's other things that are too bad that go against his resume. The one thing about Mekhi Becton early on, Jet fans, you remember this, he was mowing people down. Yeah. Then he got hurt, put on weight, never the same. But, he identified a hell of a player, just didn't work out.
All right, that does it for us. Thanks to everybody who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove and Hoff as well. Back at it tomorrow, 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.
He loves it here, and him and Judge are banging.